If Jesus really died for you, why are you still living like your life is your own? In a world that tells you to live your truth, this message will confront you with God's truth. For the next few minutes, I want you to forget the noise, the opinions, the excuses, and ask one raw question. Am I truly living for Jesus or just using his name? Stay with me, because what you decide after this could reshape every part of your life. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. We are in our series called Absolutes and Principles of Conscience. And I got to tell you, this series has challenged me because I tend to be on the absolute side of things, right? Where it's just black and white. It is just out there. God's word is so clear to us. And yet, Paul is reminding us that certain things aren't as clear in the scriptures. In other words, we do have gray areas. However, I want to be unequivocal, or I want to be very, very clear on this. What the Bible calls a sin cannot fall into the category as principles of conscience. Sin is sin in the Bible, and there's areas that the Bible doesn't mention that are principles of conscience. So we are in Romans chapter 14. If you enjoy this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really does help us achieve our goal, which is to change the hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We're seeing many of you step up to the plate for monthly donations. It really is helping us lay a foundation so that FPIW and FPIW Action are on a solid foundation financially. So thank you so much. We want to take the gospel to every nook, cranny of Washington State. All right, so let's dive into the Word of God today. It says in Romans chapter 14, verse 7 is where we are. It says, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." All right, let's break this down as we go. What changes when you remember that your life is not your own? And we are going to look at this verse. It says, "For not one of us lives for himself." The Christian walk foundationally is built on the premise that we no longer live for ourselves. We are bondservants of Jesus Christ. We are his slave, you might say. And that may be new language for you. You're like, I'm not a bondservant. I'm not a slave. Well, remember, the whole concept of being enslaved to God or being a bondservant of God is that your master pays your debt. You've worked it off through the blood of Jesus. This is in Deuteronomy. And then you love your master so much, out of choice and love, you stay with him. That's what a bondservant is. And so when he says we are the Lord's, this is incredibly important because we don't get to live for ourselves any longer. Even in those gray areas that the Bible doesn't spell out clearly. In other words, there are certain things that God says, nope, can't do that. And in those areas, we want to keep the absolutes absolute and the principle of conscience with a humble heart that reflects on the things of God, that walks towards God in those things. He says, and not one of us dies for himself. So if you are to die, it is for Jesus Christ. It's no longer about you. And this is why, as Christians, if we want to change the public square, understanding this one core principle is critical, is that we don't get to choose whether we live for ourselves or die for ourselves. We now seek the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and only live for him. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And that is to please him, to bring glory to him, to bring honor to him, to live in such a way that we bring all the attention to him. So as you walk into your office today, you are going to have to evaluate, am I bringing attention to myself or am I bringing attention to the Lord? And all of us struggle with this at times to different degrees. Some of us say we want the attention upon us, like we want people to notice us. Others of us may say we want the attention on others, but the reality is we want to bring attention to the Lord. We want to bring attention to his name. And how do we do that? If we die, we die for the Lord. We stand for truth, even if it costs us our life. We die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I love that. I mean, that's a core principle of Romans 14 right here. He's surrounding for us the very thing about the scriptures about no matter what you have as a principle of conscience, whether it's food or days or other things that, you know, God just kind of has laid aside. We are to do it for God's glory and not for our own glory and not for tradition's glory and not for anything else, but for the glory of God. Now, an absolute truth I want to go to, the reason why that we live for the Lord is Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. So I just mentioned he's our king, he's our redeemer. In other words, he's purchased us, we are enslaved to him. But another relationship we have with the Lord is that we are sheep and he is the shepherd, okay? And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there's a benefit by living for the Lord and not for ourselves. And one of the greatest benefits is that we don't have want anymore. Wouldn't you love that, not to have want anymore? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Wow, I have to get this in my head because sometimes I feel like I'm lying down in the dust or on sticks and stones and it's uncomfortable and fear can rise up, or anxiety can rise up. And I just kind of say, Lord, no, you are the good shepherd. This is an absolute about God's character, about Jesus' character. He leads me beside quiet waters. And why? So I can drink, so I can, you know, partake of that water. He restores my soul. Ooh, my mind, my will, and emotions are restored by the living God. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Have you thought about that today? Since you don't live for yourself, the Lord is guiding you into paths of walking in righteous behavior before God. What does righteousness mean? It's simple. It just means that you do the right things that please and honor God. People don't like to hear that. It's not about salvation. It's not self-righteousness that we're working our way to heaven. It's about imputed righteousness that is there for us each and every day because our shepherd is guiding us and directing us in paths of doing the right thing. Part of Christianity is doing the right thing. I'm going to say it one more time. Part of Christianity is doing the right thing. And you may say part of it, all of it is. Okay, all of Christianity is doing the right thing. Either way, but you get what I'm saying is part of it is that Jesus paid for your sin. Part of it is that you've been forgiven. Part of it is that you are loved. And the outcome is that our behavior, our words, and our actions need to honor and glorify God because we don't live for ourselves any longer. And he does all this for his own name's sake. Notice that. He says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this. Oh, aren't you so glad that you don't belong to yourself? And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not walking by yourself any longer. Why? Because you're not living for yourself. You're living for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In Washington State, where people are not liking a biblical worldview, to some degree, we have become their enemy. I will say, hopefully, when we talk about biblical worldview, we're talking about those things that are absolutely very, very clear in the Word of God, that there's only one God who created heaven and earth, who created me personally. There's only two genders, male and female. I am what I am. I'm the plumbing that I am. It's not changeable. Your DNA is not changeable. Your gender is not changeable. That he's our provider. Those are absolutes. That we can own property. Did you know that? You know, thou shalt not steal. In other words, personal responsibility over property is incredibly important to God. And so he guides us in the presence. There's people who oppose everything I just said. And to a certain degree, they can become our enemy. But how do we deal with our enemy? What does Jesus say? We love them. We share the gospel. We call them to repentance, to turn from their ways. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as you think about these principles of conscience, none of us lives for ourselves. None of us dies for ourselves. Confidence in God's provision loosens the grip of self-protection, and God begins to move upon our hearts and our minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we do remember today that we don't get to live for ourselves or die for ourselves or do anything for ourselves, that you are the shepherd and we follow after you today. God, you're not driving us from behind. You're walking ahead of us, leading us in paths of righteousness. So go before us, help us to know what is an absolute, and help us to know where it's a little bit gray. And even in the gray zones, help us to follow after you, God, not to please ourselves or please our own flesh, but to be pleasing to you. God, we lift up Bob Ferguson to you today, Governor Ferguson. We pray that you will call him to repentance, that he would turn from his ways, and that he would know you in a deep and intimate way. God, we pray for President Trump, that you give him wisdom over all that's going on globally and in the United States. God, we pray for our county officials and elected officials all around us. Lord, let them live for you, not for themselves. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard